Amen. Would you do me a big favor and use some of your words to talk to the Lord on our behalf, Brother Steve? Yes, thank you.
Listen, Lord, our God, we come before you this night, Lord, and give thanks for this day, and the beautiful wedding bestowed upon us, Lord, and all the blessings you've given through the week. I ask, Lord, and be well, Lord, that you just take an hand each one of us, Father, each family represented here, and each person here, Lord, that you would grant portions of wisdom. And Lord, let the Holy Spirit be with each one of us. Lord, to, as the Brother Martin preaches, that you would teach us and everything that we need to know and keep and apply to our lives. Lord, I ask too, Lord, if you will, just bless Brother Crisper and Mark as they're still in Mexico, Lord. Lord, just be with them, keep them safe, Lord, and get them to the next destination, please. Lord, let everything be done according to your will. I ask too, Lord, for Esther, Lord, that you be with her as she's on her own. Lord, that you would just comfort and strengthen in this time while Chris goes away. Lord, that you would just let her feel your presence around. Lord, and put it in her heart and mind that if she needs anything, Lord, to just pick up the phone and ring one of us, Lord, and we can help her. I ask too, Lord, if you will, just be with those who are not with us, those who have slipped and slid away. You know each family that was here and gone. Lord, just please, Lord, just remind them that the first one is you. And Lord, to get right back with you, please. And if not, bring them to this, just bring them to another gospel preaching church, Lord, to the full council. Lord, that they would just be on fire for when you return, Lord, please. Let us all be on fire for when you return. Lord, I pray that in these days, the last days, Lord, that you would just embolden us and strengthen us and give us the words to speak to those that need it, Lord. Especially among our families, Lord, our children, our grandchildren, friends, neighbours that don't know you, Lord. Please, Lord, just put them in our path and just let us point them to you, Father, please, that you would save their souls. Let all searching souls here and around the world find you this day. And Lord, you would be repented of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we just save everyone. Lord, please now just be with us this sermon and the rest of the service. I will not forget any Israel, be with them too. As I ask all these things, Lord, and many more requests, Lord, I need to put before you, do you know? And through asking through Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. We're going to begin with number 4 in the wee black books. If you'd like to take and turn there in number 4. Holy, holy, holy. And we'll remain seated as we sing. good song. Good song. All right, we're on to the big books now. So take and turn there, if you would, to 36. This is Christie's favorite, or one of Christie's favorites, but an excellent song. Once heard a preacher said would put a shout in the chorus. So we're going to have to stand for Christ arose, so let's stand for Christ arose. Hymn number 36. Bring us the Bible read.
Thank you much. Amen. Turn tonight to Revelation chapter 14. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood in the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They are they which follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven sing unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith Lord, that they may rest from their labours and their works do follow them. And I looked and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown and his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat in the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power of fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle unto the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast in the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. It's always interesting to read a little bit from Revelation. I suppose a little bit more interesting as the news articles that are broadcast daily tend to reflect it more and more these days. But people, you may think, how is it that people would actually take the mark of the beast when it's been such a popular part of our culture for so many years? But let me tell you, people can be talked into anything if it's packaged just right. So, amen. And I was just sharing with Will, I think it's Revelation 7 gives the full description of the 144,000, doesn't it? But the Jehovah's Witness don't like that chapter. They don't like the fact that the 144,000 that they claim are the heavenly called Jehovah's Witness are actually all supposed to be male Jewish virgins. They don't like that. Read Revelation chapter 7, that's what the 144,000 are. And almost certainly every single one of the Jehovah's Witnesses is neither a Jew nor unmarried and never had a girlfriend or a boyfriend. So powerful stuff, well worth reading, and well worth comparing against what's going on in the world. And we appreciate the readings this evening and this morning, the joint effort on the right wing, my right wing. So, amen. It may be the best part of the service. My sermon could be a dud this evening, but as long as you listen to the reading of God's word, you'll not go far wrong. Thank you for that, gentlemen. All right, on to the announcements. Just want to remind you all to make sure you have a little pink. Orange, there it is there. A little orange prayer list. I wrote some of our prayer requests on the pink one, but there you go. Everybody probably received a text about wee Jessica. She looked very sore on Friday, and I was just sharing with the folks this morning, the scalding water landed on her face and on her back and on her neck and her chest. And she looked like someone that got badly scalded. You would expect to look, lots of cream and bandages. Please do pray for her. Was it something like a 2-year recovery period?
You said not to go out in the sun for 2 years.
Wow. So there you go. That shows you the severity of what happened. She didn't get third degree burns,
no,
but
she
lost.
Surgery. No, she didn't need surgery.
So she still has some skin in there, which means it will eventually recover, but it'll take a long time.
You can see part of her cheek was the antibiotic creams beginning to heal.
Yeah. Poor wee. I know she's a young woman, but poor wee girl, you know, it's awful. We're glad to have Christine with us as well. She was in for a scan today. Everything went well, thankfully. So we're glad that prayer was answered, and pray that it continues to be answered over the days and weeks and months and years that go on. I'm glad to see Stephen with us this evening, who wasn't feeling 100% the last wee while too. So keep praying for him. And if you get a chance, crunch his right hand when you're shaking hands with him, just to let him know that you care. If you don't give him a good handshake, he thinks you don't care.
I'll shake your hand.
Other than that, we have our country's leaders to pray for, and boy, they need praying for. I think Bojo is a hobo and needs to get the tobo. And be somewhere else, like Chimp's Tea Party or picking potatoes in a few months' time, and not running this country. But we are commanded to pray for him, whether we like him or not. We are commanded to pray for the leaders of not just our countries, but all of the leaders in the world, because they're like dominoes, and what affects one somehow eventually affects all of us. And most importantly, we are commanded to pray for Israel. And be nice to the Jewish people. Be nice in your thoughts. Be nice in your words. And be nice in your deeds. And guess what? God will be nice to you in his thoughts and his words and his deeds. That's his promise that was never taken back. And that's in Genesis chapter 12 for your perusal. So please do remember that. Other than that, there are private prayer requests, which I know sometimes are more close to our hearts than the ones that we completely verbalize. Please just don't gloss over them, but please do ask the Lord about your private prayer requests and about others as well. In Philippians 4, if you want peace in your heart and mind, just tell God about everything. You don't have to tell him out loud, but tell God about everything and allow him to work on all of those parts of your life. So it is important. Yes, madame. Yes, we have a wee get well card or get well soon for Jessica. So if you haven't put your name on it already, please do, and give it to Pat and Steve on the way home, and you can do her, and we'll give you 70, we'll give you 66p for a stamp. Or do you ever remember being in school and you asked someone and they had their new shoes, have you got a stamp yet? And they said no, and then you'd go, do you ever remember doing that?
I was just going to suggest that.
John, don't you sit at the back looking all that and something?
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, we'll not do that. We'll not do that.
Why is everybody
coming
to the
end of the evening? Yes, that as Monica's misbehaving little nephew used to say, this is how I behave, isn't that right? But anyway, please do remember those. There's a bunch of other stuff on there. Please do pray for Pat's wee sister, Marie, and Frank. He's landed safe and sound. Please do continue to pray for him. And Esther, remember Esther too. She is out of sight. She's not out of mind. Her daughter, Tina, was sectioned on Friday and needs a lot of prayer. So please do pray for Esther's daughter, Tina. Amen. All right. We'll have a word of prayer. If there's anything else that comes to your mind as we pray, just lift it up to the Lord, and then we will just keep going. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, just thank you for your open invitation to come before you and just to quite literally to spill our guts to you, Lord. All the things that bother us, all the things that bother our brothers and sisters in Christ, and Lord, all those lost souls that we bear in mind, and I just think especially at this time, there's Esther and Tina and Jessica and Christine. We're thankful for answered prayers. We're thankful, Lord, that we can come before you and talk to you about those that are hurting, and pray, Lord, that you would just reach down from heaven and touch them, reason with them, speak to them, comfort them, strengthen them, show them, Lord, the foot of the cross. Bless each one of us, Lord, as we spend this time in your presence. Please be one of our number. In fact, you've promised you will be, and I pray, Lord, that you would not be done with us, that even now a wayward soul, not even especially in Bethel, but a wayward soul anywhere in the world would be spoken to by the songs or the announcements or the reading of the scriptures or the preaching of the word or the fellowship, Lord. and that they would be drawn back to you. You know, we live in the last of the last days. I'm thankful for the reminders and the scriptures. They still haven't changed. It was great to read about them whenever they weren't happening. It's precious to read about them now that they are happening. And it just lets us know that you are indeed the God of time and space and matter, and that you can do anything. You can do the impossible, and I pray that you would. Please save lost souls, Lord. Please turn saved souls into Christians. And please edify those Christians that desire to grow. And contend with us, Lord, and encourage us and comfort us and even chasten us. Thank you for all the souls that are here, and I pray your good hand upon all the households that are represented. And Lord, that we would take home a little bit of what we gather from you this evening. Bless us and keep us, Lord, I pray, and we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Let's take our big hymn books again. Big hymn books time. Hymn number 150. My faith has found a resting place. We'll remain seated as we sing. Sing another one? Is everybody okay to sing another one?
Aye,
110. All the way my Saviour leads me. We have just a closer walk with you to close the circles with, but we'll sing 110. And we'll stand as we do.
Been my steps may falter, and my soul at first may be, crossing from the rock before me, though a spring of joy I sing, gushing from the rock before me, though a spring of joy I sing, all the way my Savior.
Seated. Thank you very much. We are in Luke, where I know this time, previous months, Christy has been taking us through the book of Acts, but Luke and Acts are supposed to have the same authors, so we are the same, only different this evening in Luke chapter 24, if you would like to take and turn there. Luke chapter 24. Amen. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 13. Luke chapter 24, beginning to read at verse number 13. Amen. We're speaking on the subject of sympathetic resonance. If anybody here is a physicist, you'll know that's what happens when a vibrating thing causes another thing to vibrate at the same frequency. So sympathetic resonance or sympathy or something like that there, but you get the idea. Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse number 13, and this all takes place just after the Lord has risen, although he hasn't yet shown himself alive to all of his apostles, to all of his disciples. And behold, two of them, that's the apostles, the disciples, went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it would, that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto a village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? That's our text, by the way, this evening. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, we have to go on a bit, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And he gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand Scriptures. Amen. We're going to stop there. Went on a verse or two. Our particular verse this evening is verse number 32, when the two disciples commented on Jesus talking to them and saying, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the Scriptures? Amen. Well, would you pray for us, please, if you would.
Heavenly Father, thank you. My God, thank you for praying safely and securely with your presence. Lord, we offer an all of our blessings in every head that's covered there tonight, Lord. You take every household that's represented, Lord. Bless us and be one for an all, Lord. And be in our presence, Lord, as you were in those apostles, Lord, as well, Lord. And Lord, expound to us through the gospel, through the dividing of the gospel by Mark tonight, Lord. Use this spirit to touch our lives, Lord, and touch our hearts and our souls, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And be joyful and may glory and alone in thee, Lord. Lord, we have absent brother, but Christy and Marky is in the way, Lord. Provide for them and keep them and deliver from any trouble, Lord. And we can save your end to provide for them and stop them from getting COVID-19, Lord, as well, Lord. And stop the people from getting COVID-19 throughout this world,
yes,
Lord. And step in, Lord, and show people that there is a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shown, Lord. And Lord, save them through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For this day, Lord, and we have all the ministers and the missionaries throughout the world that are saved, Lord, and are expounding the Bible to people in the churches or in the open, Lord, or wherever, Lord. Use it and use the Spirit, Lord, to convict the people of their sins, Lord, and Lord, that they may come to the truth, Lord, across the souls, so they may be saved completely, Lord, and eternally. This night, Lord, and provide for us to give us for Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for that. Well, just as you were praying, I was thinking on India. It seems to be getting a very tough time at this particular moment as regards infections. It's interesting to note that India accounts for about half of the day-to-day medications that America uses, and I'm sure they probably account for half of a good portion of our medications day by day, so it's worth remembering and praying for not just India, but as we mentioned earlier, all of the countries in the world. Anyone ever heard of the account of the two men on the road to Emmaus meeting Jesus? You've heard of it before, haven't you? The Lord, before many times before he gave up his life for you and me, he said, I have the power to lay down my life and I have the power to take it up again. It's another one of those scripture verses. It also mentions elsewhere in the scriptures that it was by the power of the Holy Spirit and then by the power of God Almighty that he was resurrected from the dead again. Another instance of the Trinity, which again the Jehovah's Witness don't like either. We're not getting it, the Jehovah's Witness. There's just some things that crop up as we are reading. very, very sad time. This man that quite literally could control the elements, could control the weather, even the animal kingdom obeyed his word. The demons, they hopped, skipped and jumped whenever he shouted. They obeyed him. The only thing that God ever had a problem with is our wicked old hearts, our sinful souls. And he gave many, many examples of his power. And people saw it. These things, as the Lord said, these things weren't done in secret. These were done and freely available for everybody, even the greatest detractor, to see. But the most important thing was that people trusted in God. Even those men that the scribes and the Pharisees sent to listen to Jesus to try and trip him up. You remember how they tried about, the Sadducees tried to trip him up with the woman that married the seven brothers, whose wife will she be in the endless ages of eternity? And Jesus said, you guys don't know anything about the scriptures. Marriage is until death do you part. In heaven, everybody is equal. They neither are given marriage nor taken marriage like the angels. Do you remember the time they tried to trip him up about paying taxes to Caesar? They were trying to get Caesar's armies. I think we were having a conversation a bit about the mention of Babylon instead of the Church of Rome in the book of Revelation, and how it could be detrimental to your health to say anything bad about Rome whenever Israel was under Roman rule. Very detrimental to your health not to pay your taxes to Caesar, and it's still very detrimental to your health not to pay your taxes to our current modern day Caesar, especially when he has a flat to renovate in London. He only needs 2.5 million of your taxes. I'm sure I will pay for it all at £1 a week. Just you leave that to me. It's all covered. And if Boris doesn't mind me paying for his flat, he can move into it whenever it's ready. Amen. People, he can, whenever I pay for it, in about 2.5 million weeks. But anyway, they didn't get it. Even Peter. Peter, who quite literally walked on water like Jesus. Can you imagine hopping out of a boat against every instinct, every fisherman's instinct, hopping into the water when Jesus called you, and scampering across the waves until you were nearly there, and then looking around thinking, I'm nearly at Jesus. I'll just have a look around and see what's happening. Starting to sink, and the Lord reached out and caught him. Even Peter, who had been directly involved in and had the very hand of God upon him, experienced the power of God. Even he didn't believe. He denied him 3 times. And the Lord said, whenever you are converted, he said, strengthen your brethren. So he wasn't converted at the time of writing of the times that were referred to in the book of Luke. So all of these people thought that this God man, this, some say, this risen prophet, this resurrection of John the Baptist, this Jeremiah, this Isaiah, this Elijah, they thought he was coming back to rule and reign. They thought it was the millennium reign coming. But it wasn't. The devil got it wrong. We got it wrong. Man as a creature got it wrong. Even his own followers got it wrong. The Lord came to give his life on the cross of Calvary so that we could be saved. It's not that we would be saved. It's that we could be saved. There's a horse prancing up and down the field there. That's what the thumpity thump sound is. I remember sitting for many years in the old church, and the story that I was told that was that Jesus died on the cross so that we would go to heaven, and that's not true. We can go to heaven if we choose Christ as our Savior, and that's it. That's all that it takes to get to heaven. But if you want a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in, if you want the company of God right now, well then that's a wee bit more. That takes a wee bit of effort. That takes a wee bit of discipline. That takes a wee bit of trust. And all these people didn't have it. And they were all walking about confused, saying, "We said he was going to do this, and he said he was going to take up his life again. How come he's dead?" And I know God rolls his eyes at us sometimes. Because here we are with the full scriptures in front of us. We don't need the Book of Common Prayer. We don't need the pearl of great price. We don't need reasoning from the scriptures. We don't need any of Ellen G. White's or Mary Baker Eddy's writings. We have the full scriptures in the King James Bible. And still, God rolls his eyes at us, I am sure. Go, "Oh no, there's Mark. He's gone and done it again. Oh, get me another couple of angels down to 40 Maboy Road. Mark's gone and done something stupid. And if we don't get down there and save him, his wife's going to track him down with that cast iron pot and change the shape of his head forever. So send a couple of angels down there and just have him shut his mouth before he says something he shouldn't. Before I get beaten as good looking as Steve." Anyway, we see it all. Do you know what? We even see the scriptures coming to pass now. I know I keep saying about watch the TV and see scripture coming true. Do you know where in the Bible it refers to those things? It is crazy. And yet still, we fail to trust. We have all of the scriptures, all of the fulfilled prophecies that took place, even to the very temple being pulled apart, not one stone standing upon another. All of these things have happened, just like Jesus said, and still, those words that Jesus spoke to the two men on the road to Emmaus still apply to us. What did he say? "Who fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Verse number 25, that still applies to us. Because we live so much of our lives not trusting in Jesus. The whole point of it was that Jesus should come down to us because we couldn't go up to him. The devil certainly aspires to. He says, "I will be like the Most High. I will rise above the clouds of the congregation." Isaiah 14 anyway, the five I wills the devil. But we can't. So God had to come to us. And he did in the form of his son Christ Jesus. And he lived amongst us, he demonstrated his power, he demonstrated his wisdom, his knowledge, his grand glory. And yet we're still having a bit of a problem. We still find it difficult to put our faith in him, to put him first. But he had to come and do that. Because otherwise there would have been 2,000 years of people not saved and not going to heaven. He loved us. He loves us still. And he gave his life on the cross of Calvary. And that's as good at saving people today as it was 2,000 years ago. And it'll still be good just before time is no more. And the roll is called up yonder and everything is wound up. And so Jesus did what sometimes I attempt to do off the cuff. And he showed all of the examples of himself in the Bible. I am not going to attempt to do that because I don't want to show myself up. But I am sure he spoke about the book of Genesis. Do you remember? Adam and Eve. They have a lot to answer for. But they sinned. They ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they became like God, knowing good and evil. But that was it. That was as close as they came to God. The devil told the truth and lied them out of an eternity, walking and talking with God in the Garden of Eden. And he said, "I am the Lamb that was slain to cover their sin." That was speaking of me. Whenever Abraham took his son up into the mountain, and his son said, "Dad, where's the lamb for the sacrifice?" Abraham said, "My God will provide himself a lamb." That was me. Whenever he said, "Do you remember Joseph, the son of Israel?" "Yes," they said. That was me. A man rejected of his brethren, cast down, made in the form of a servant, a slave, and raised to the right hand of glory. It's not very often you will ever find Egypt referred to in a positive light, but it is in this case, so that he could be a salvation to his people, which he was. Until 400 years later, they were delivered. He said, "That was me." Every single one of the prophets that wept for Israel, those were my tears. Every single one of the judges that stood and fought for Israel, that was my strong right arm. It all speaks of me. Can you not see that? I'm not saying that to you, that was what Jesus was saying to these guys. Can you not see? But the thing that really spoke to me was this comment that they made after, hold on a second, that was Jesus. We were talking with Jesus. He opened our understanding of the scriptures a wee bit. We see him. Of course, he blessed the tea and they were about to eat. They said, "That's Jesus." And then he disappeared out of their sight. Again, another confirmation that it was the Lord God Almighty. What did they say? Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? I don't know about you. I know a fair bit about you, but I don't know this about you. Whenever you hear these things, do you get excited? Do you think, "Hey, I forgot about that. I must make a mental note of that, because obviously God needs for me to pass that on to somebody"? Do you get fired up? Do you think, do you get your notebook out or even your pen out? And by the way, God is not going to strike you dead if you write a note in your Bible. You'll probably hold on to it longer if it's written in your Bible. It's one of the reasons why my Bible's giant print. A, my eyesight is awful without my glasses. I think if I squint them a bit, I can just read it. But I'm less likely to lose a note that is written on my Bible. I have a good Bible by the side of my bed. This is my working Bible. Don't be afraid to write notes down. The thing about writing stuff down is you remember it better. If you don't want to write in your Bible, repeat it to yourself 10 times. That's how we used to get the kids memorizing their Bible verses. Does it excite you? Does it do something for you? Does it encourage you? Does it comfort you to hear about how much God loves you? More than your own mom, more than your own son or daughter, more than your own husband and wife. So much so, in fact, that not only did he give his life for you, but he suffered the most unimaginable agony, so that every single man, woman and child that draws breath can, when they're able, choose to have Jesus Christ as their Savior. Does that not encourage you? Does that not reinforce the assurance that the scriptures are right and that you can take them at their word? The prophecy, do you know what nearly destroyed me as a young person? Fortune telling. The stars. Reading books on the occult and all of the prophecies that they would do, because that's how they draw people in. And I remember staying in the Union Theological College up behind Queen's University and having books delivered in brown paper bags to do with witchcraft and Satanism. And I even tried some of the things on it, and I tell you what, I nearly had my life taken because of it too. They had me nearly one night, after a number of nights of dreams, nearly had me jumping out of a window on a second story. The devil is real, and he hates God's creation. He hates Christians, but he hates the fools that follow him even more. Prophecy nearly killed me. Satanic, demonic, occultic prophecy nearly killed me. But biblical prophecy encourages me, it strengthens me, it comforts me, and it lets me know that God is as good as his word. He put the one thing that no other publication that mankind has ever put his hand to can ever do, and that is give us the future. And we're living it right now. We're living it right now. And it encourages me. I don't take joy out of the people that have lost their lives. I take comfort in knowing that the Bible was correct about people losing their lives. I don't take joy in knowing that the mark of the beast is going to come, as Will was reading. And many people, everyone that takes the mark of the beast in their right hand or in their forehead, will end up in hell and the lake of fire. I don't take comfort in that. I don't jump up and down and say, amen, Lord, let's get those heathens. I said that once in McDonald's and nearly had a fight. Were you there that time?
Yes, I was.
We were all sitting enjoying our breakfast and I said, right, let's get up and go over to those heathens in Kilfenan and put gospel tracts through their door. And there was a drunk guy in the next table and he was starting. So we went over and just stopped him, told him to wind his neck in and quit annoying us. Anyway, I don't take joy in those things. I take comfort in knowing that the Bible's right. When God has been right about all of his prophecy, none of us are old enough here to remember Israel becoming a nation, but my dad does. He was about 15 or 16 when Israel was reconstituted. There are soon not going to be very many people like that left. God said, when you see these things come to pass, know that it is at the very doors. And we see these things happening. We see guys like me standing behind the pulpit that don't know their left hand from their right hand. They're quite literal traitors. They're not telling people that they need to get saved. They're telling people just to do the best that they can. I used to go to a church with one of those guys. We see technology bringing us images giving life into our very hip pockets. The mark of the beast is, any computer guy will tell you, is technologically possible, and there's probably millions of them sitting in boxes waiting to go into people's arms. For COVID tracking or COVID delivery or some such. And people will queue up to get it. Jesus said, look out for the wars and rumours of war. There's always been wars, but pick up that wee plastic triangle and switch it on and you can watch the missiles falling and the bullets flying from just about anywhere in the world. And they are live. There's the famines and the pestilences, and there is a great famine. I think it was it Jeremiah or Isaiah said, I can't recall, a famine, not of food, but of the preaching of the word of God. There is a great famine of that, but there's also famines right the way across the world. There's diseases right the way across the world, but Isaiah said again, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that turn everything upside down. So instead of making sure people with HIV and AIDS are aware of their disease and don't communicate it to anybody else, we say let's protect them. Let's give them money. Let's help them spread their disease. Ebola is only marginally less dangerous. And it is curable. And people freaked out over one wee Scottish nurse coming in from Africa 3 or 4 years ago. And now we have this flu that came in from Wuhan province in China. And the thing that excites me on the one hand and concerns me on the other hand is how many times in churches in the Western world have preachers stood behind the pulpit? And how many times have they spoken about famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places, always in their heart of hearts, talking about somewhere else across the world? Just not so funny whenever it's happening on your own doorstep, is it? But it makes the scriptures personal. Let me ask you a question. I know I have not said anything new. I love this stuff, as you know, and I repeat it often.
because it means so much to me. It underpins my faith day by day. The days that I have not been feeling the best, I rest in the knowledge that Jesus has me in the palm of his hands. The days that I'm on top of the world, it encourages me to walk a step further, to speak a minute longer, to mention another person in prayer. Yes, unfortunately, I do get encouraged very easily, which is why the messages sometimes go to 45 minutes and an hour. But let me ask you a question. Does it do anything for you at all to listen to these old doctrines, these comforts, these promises that God has for anybody that will turn up at the foot of the cross and say, what was it the Lord said about the Pharisee and the publican? Remember, he walked into the church and there was a guy standing. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like the other scum that come to this church. I tithe of everything. I even go through my wife's ingredients and I give of her herbs and her cumin and mint. And you see that guy over there? And he's standing over there going, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Please, please help me. And what did Jesus say? Who goes out justified? Who goes out helped? But the sinner that calls on Christ.
That's right.
Has any of this spoken to you? Or would you rather hear the tales of the mightiest man in the world? And I'm not talking about He-Man. And I'm not talking about the Incredible Hulk. I'm talking about Samson, whom God gifted with incredible, unheard of strength when the Spirit came upon him and then left him again and came back whenever he needed. Goodness. And everyone's heard about the apprentice boys. Wasn't it them that locked the gates? Can you imagine Samson just grabbing the gates and throwing them on his shoulders and running away down the hill? Because that's what he did. Can you imagine a man fast enough to catch who knows how many foxes, hold them, tie their tails together, and stick a firebrand in between them and run them through all the crops? Can you imagine a man fast enough to do that with skin that tough that those foxes nipping at him didn't break the skin or cause him any discomfort? Can you imagine a man walking along with his hands in his pockets? We know Samson wasn't a great thinker. Walking along with his hands in his pockets and a lion roars at him and he just goes, breaks him in two. And next time he's walking past, he sees what? Honeybees have nested in the chest. Can you imagine that? Those things are real. A man, remember David that beat the pants off of Goliath? We think that's great. I think it's great to remember his history. When as a wee lad, he was probably easily as big as me. Only walking more closely with the Lord. He was told to go out and look after the sheep and don't lose any. And so he took that, but walking with the Lord, and a bear came. He took the sword and killed it, and took the lamb out of its mouth. A lion came, and he grabbed it by the beard and the chin, and he killed it with the sword and took the lamb out of its mouth. And he just said, that Philistine heathen there, he'll be just like the lion and the bear. The Lord will help me deal with him. These things are real. Do you remember what the Joe Public said about John the Baptist and Jesus? He said, the Pharisees said to the man, they said, go and listen to him and try and trip him up. Get something on him. Stitch him up. And they came back and they were probably coming back in a daze with all of these things rolling around in their heads. And the Pharisees and the scribes said, well, what have you got? He says, we don't have anything. That guy speaks with authority, not like you guys at all. He speaks with power and authority. His words hit home. Because believe it or not, friends, each one of us is going to stand in front of God on our own with no mummy or daddy, no mates. And each one of us is going to have to explain to Jesus why we did and what we did with our salvation, or why we didn't. and have all of our own sins upon us for the endless ages of eternity, which everyone else will know. There'll be no escapes from, it's not going to be like, RIPD? Remember that show that came out where all the demons were escaping, all the lost souls were escaping from hell, and cops that had passed on were charged with getting them back down again? There is not going to be an escape from hell like there was an escape from Colditz or escape from Alcatraz. People are going to be so disgusted by other people's sins, they're not going to want anything to do with them. There's not going to be someone lifting somebody else up out of the flames, because each person will know that they're due every single moment of suffering for the filthy thoughts, the murders, the lies, adulteries, all of these things. I hate the fact that so many are going to reject Jesus Christ, but I rejoice in the fact that I'm not one of them. That my soul is saved. That book of life that is mentioned at the end of Revelation 20 has my name in it. And I am sure more than a few names of the folks in this church. And that someday in a glorified body, with all our aches and pains and all our shortcomings sorted out, we will walk the streets of gold, transparent like glass. In the New Jerusalem, which was something like 100 furlongs by 1,000 furlongs, having a mansion each. In my Father's house are many mansions, not many rooms. And that I am never going to have an ache or a tear or a fear ever again.
Amen.
Never suffer a sore back. Do you ever go down? You go to pick up a towel and it almost feels like something snaps in your back.
Yeah.
You thought, that must have been the heaviest towel ever. There'll never be that anymore.
Yeah.
It's not the towel that kills you, it's the half a ton of stuff that you moved earlier on catching up with you. Does any of this ring a bell? Does any of this strike a heartstring? Does any of this encourage you? Because it encourages me. It makes me want to tell people. It makes me want to learn another verse so that the next time I'm talking to someone I can say, look, it says it in your Bible too. Because that's what happened with the two men on the road to Emmaus. If on the other hand, because let's be honest, there are only two sorts of people in this world. And it's not Black Lives Matter and anybody else. It's saved and lost. It doesn't matter what color your skin is or what type of words come out of your mouth, whether they're English or Chinese or Gaelic or French or German or whatever. It's saved and lost, and that's that. Do the things that excite you, do they reside in the world? Is it a good night out that excites you? Is it pint? Is it an armful of poison? Is it a long, slow drag, a toke on a cigarette, or a wacky backy? Is it chasing a wee girl or a wee boy to spend the night in their bed? Is that what excites you? Is it turning on the TV? I knew of a man who knew in his heart that if he got saved, he would have to quit drinking. He knows what God thinks of drink, and he said that. If I get saved, I'll have to stop drinking. And I was thinking, my goodness, that is one decision you will regret as soon as you close your eyes and open them in eternity. And you have a man that would rather sit and watch football all morning than come and hear the words of eternal life. Which one resonates within your soul? Which one draws you after itself? I know there's 100 things, there's 1,000 things in this world to draw people away. There really are. But there's only one thing that will draw people to heaven.
That's right.
And that is the Holy Ghost's conviction and Jesus Christ's salvation. Mm-hmm. All provided for us by a Father that loves us more than he loved his own life. Which one? What's the words of that song? Chords that were broken will vibrate once more. Which song is that?
Rescue and Punishment.
rescue the perishing. Which one does it for you? These men give us the plumb line. They give us the instruction, the measure, the yardstick. And they said, when he expounded the scriptures, did not our hearts burn within us? What causes your heart to burn? Is it burning with the Holy Spirit? Or is it just starting to warm up with the fires of hell, friends? The world, the flesh and the devil, they have their... Do you know what? The Mormons have the burning in the bosom taken from this. And they say, oh, if it feels right, it must be right. How stupid can smart people be? You don't listen to your feelings. You listen to the scriptures. Mm-hmm. You draw your feelings to your side like you would a disobedient pup, and you keep it there until it learns its place. Which one causes your heart to burn? The Savior that gave his life for you, that goodness, there is just so much there that he put in place to back up his claims. Or the temporary pleasures of the world, the flesh and the devil, and all the lies and all the stories that they tell you. Which one causes your heartstrings to vibrate once more? I pray it's the scriptures. And if it isn't, look a little bit deeper. You will find something there that will speak to you and will strengthen you and comfort you. Might even lift you by the ear and set you on a different path or point you in a different direction. But it will work for you if you love the Lord. And if you want, in the endless ages of eternity, to look back at your life and say, we look back and say, I wish I had done better, I wish I had done more. Here's the wee recipe. Get saved, do what God says, and everything will work out for the best. That's it. Romans 8:28. That's chock full of meaty goodness. But do it God's way. It always works out better. I'm going to stop there. God bless you. Thank you for your good time. And we're not singing Rescue the Perishing. We're going to sing Just a Closer Walk with Thee. What number was that, Steve? 319. Just a Closer Walk with Thee. If you'd like to stand as we sing, then we will be done.
safely on to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea.
Thank you all for your good time. God bless you. Pray you have a good week until next we meet. And safe journey home. Well, would you discuss the meeting for us, please, brother?
Dear Father, thank you, Lord, Lord. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. And we believe in him today and the risen Lord that died and came back from the dead and saved and kept hell, the death, captivity captive, Lord, and saved us from our sins, Lord. And thank you for that grace, Lord. Why we yet so that you died for us, Lord. Lord, bring us as we finish up more sermon, Lord, the pastor comes to safety, guides and protect us, Lord, through not only us but also other Christians and other lost souls that attend meetings, Lord, and even lost souls throughout the world that are contemplating salvation, Lord. We use the Spirit to convict them completely and fully, Lord, and save them from their sins, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Bring us this night, Lord, the pastor comes to safety and provide for us, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, folks. God bless you. We are officially dismissed. Thank you, Will.
I don't know. I don't know.